Some of you who are older will remember the statement this way: as American as baseball, hot dogs, motherhood, and apple pie. Others will remember it simply as mom and apple pie. It was shortened to mom and apple pie sometime during World War II, and there are two versions of the story as to why it was shortened. One is that whenever soldiers were interviewed and asked what they missed most about home, the typical response was mom and apple pie. I miss mom. I miss mom's apple pie. The other version of the story goes like this, that when soldiers were going off to Europe or to the Pacific theater and they were asking why they were going to war, their response was, I'm going to war on behalf of mom and apple pie. What did that mean? What does that phrase even mean? As American as baseball, hot dogs, motherhood, and apple pie, or just mom and apple pie? Well, it is both of these statements are statements that say that there are basic principles on which we all agree. And that when you talk about motherhood and apple pie, it is an issue that is universally agreed upon. We all agree upon motherhood. We all agree upon apple pie. The sad truth is that that is no longer the case. As a matter of fact, today we live in an era of what is typically called the era of the liberated woman. And we live in an era in which motherhood does not seem to be an agreed upon issue in society as it once was. As a matter of fact, the question that we must consider today is, what is the liberated woman liberated from or liberated to? A woman by the name of Dorothy Patterson wrote an essay some years ago. It is included in one of the books back in our library. And the title of the essay is The High Calling of Wife and Mother in Biblical Perspective. And what she says is that women have been liberated right out of genuine freedom that they have enjoyed for centuries to oversee the home, rear the children, and pursue personal creativity. And she makes a plea in this essay. The plea is this. She says, in our quest to be all that we are meant to be, the question is, what are we meant to be? I think the question has never been whether or not a woman wants what is best for her husband and her children and even herself. The real question, and this is the question that we have to answer this morning, and this is the question that I hope those who will listen to this broadcast this morning and even as it goes out over the internet will stop to consider, is this question. Is being someone's wife and another's mother really worth the investment of a life? Let me say that again. Is being someone's wife, because women, this is to you, is being someone's wife and someone else's mother really worth the investment of your life? Because you're going to invest your life. I've given the better part of my life to raise these kids. I've given the better part of my life as your wife. Is that investment worth what you invest in it? Those of you who have been mothers and your children are older, you might could answer that question as you look back over your children's lives and what you now are reaping in the way of reward from that. But for those young mothers, some of you older mothers may need to talk to them. Because now in the midst of changing diapers and washing clothes and cooking dishes and cleaning homes and wiping runny noses and cleaning dirty bottoms and listening to baby talk all day long and wishing upon wishing that you could just have a little male or a mature conversation with another adult, there are probably those of you that wonder, what have I gotten myself into when I said I wanted to be a mother? This morning, if you hear nothing else out of this lesson, hear this. You are doing something that the world does not understand, and that in God's estimation places you very high. And we're going to see that here in just a moment, but I want you to hear that up front, because that's where I'm going with this lesson. There are arguments in our present age that are being made on a continual basis that says that, Mom, you're wasting your time. Your abilities, your talents, your energies are much better to be used in pursuing a career and doing great things out here in the world. You don't have time. It's a waste of your time to wipe runny noses and to clean up food that's been spilt on the floor and to wipe down tables after your kids have knocked over their milk and spilt their cereal and wipe the food on the table. It's just not worth your time. That's the argument that's being made. And then there are our own assumptions and our own priorities. What is a priority in our life? And when we weigh all of that, we've got to continually do something as Christians. And what we as Christians have to do is we have to take those arguments and we have to take those assumptions and we have to take those priorities and we have to test them against the teaching of God's Word. Because John long ago wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. There are many false prophets in the world that are telling our women today that if you give yourself to motherhood, you're wasting the best years of your life and the talents that you have to do so many great things in this world. And God says, don't listen to those false prophets. This morning, as we seek once again to turn our hearts toward home, I want us to consider what God has to say to our wives and to our mothers about being what Paul called workers or keepers at home. And so let's start by looking, first of all, at this concept of career. Is homemaking a challenging career? Because society says it's not worth your time. Well, what is a career in the first place? What is a professional pursuit? Those of you that are in the corporate world, those of you that have delved into the idea of careers, have seen this before. You've heard these things. If you're going to pursue a career, it requires some things. It requires training and preparation, but it also requires commitment and dedication for the long haul. If you're going to enter into a career, you're committed to it because this is my career. This is what I'm investing my life in. A career demands constant activity. It demands progressive achievement. You can't just, as we sometimes say, sit on our haunches and expect it all to come to us. We've got to be active in pursuing that career. We've got to be people that are progressive in working to do a little bit better each day to improve our abilities and our talents and our skills. There is within a career a combination of training and preparation, commitment and loyalty. It requires our energy and our time. It requires excellence and achievement. Now, that being said, the question comes back to, is homemaking a career? Let me let you weigh that out. If you look up homemaker in a dictionary, here's what you're going to find. The dictionary describes a homemaker as an individual who manages a household, especially a wife and a mother. Homemaking is important enough that it demands a woman's diligent preparation, her foremost commitment. It requires her full energies and her greatest creativity. I have watched my wife work with our children when we adopted them. We were 8, 10, and 12, so we didn't have the little ones like some of you started out with. But we have come in on the backside of that with our grandchildren. We've raised them, and I have watched her creativity in when one says, I don't want to do that. And she gives them choices. And both of those choices are what she wants them to do anyway. And they just figure out, they get to make up their own mind, they're in control of it, and they choose what she wanted them to choose. And I'm thinking, I don't do that. I just say, you're going to do it whether you like it or not. I've said it, that's the way it is. She's much more creative. And the energy I know she has to put into that amazes me. And you other women that do the same thing, I never cease to be amazed at how you handle that. A homemaker does her job without the enticement of a paycheck. There's no one that will sit at the end of the week and say, for services rendered, here is your pay. Homemakers, mothers, do what they do because of what they love doing. As a matter of fact, she can't be duplicated for any amount of money. There is no price tag that you could put upon what your wives do in the home, men. That's why when you look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, you find this phrase, her price is far above jewels or rubies. And if you go down and you look, beginning at verse 10 and going all the way into that chapter, what you find is that so much of what King Lemuel's mother is saying in the way of praise about this woman has to do with her homemaking abilities, her care within the home, her concern for her family and her children, because they're the ones that rise up and call her blessed. And her husband is the one that praises her in the gates. Why? Because this is a magnificent woman. Because of the things that she's doing. Homemaking, motherhood, leap, put it all together. But one of the things that we find from Scripture is that it's a divine assignment. It is something that is God-given. In Titus chapter 2, what Eric read for us just a moment ago, if you notice there in verses 3 through 5, and I want to just move down to verses 4 and 5, one of the things, among the other things, that the older women are to teach the younger women is that those younger women are to, as he says, love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, be pure, and then this last phrase, be, as the New American Standard translates it, workers at home. And that's exactly what the Greek originally says, home workers, literally. There's a historian that wrote many years ago by the name of Walter Houghton, and he once described the home as this. He said it is a place apart, a walled garden, in which certain virtues, too easily crushed by modern life, could be preserved. And another, a woman, described the keeper of that home as what she said was the angel of the house. You know, we sometimes say, our children need to learn a few hard knocks in life. And at some point, yes, that may be true. But during those formative years, moms, you do something that cannot be done in a daycare. You do something that cannot be done in a mom's day out program. You do something that cannot be accomplished in a preschool program. That is, you provide that walled garden. You provide that place where they can be nurtured and brought up, and they can be sheltered from some of the harsh realities that exist in the world today, so that they have the opportunity to have a foundation built within them, so that when they do have to face those harsh realities in the world, they've got something to draw from. And there's no one that is going to take care of your kids like you will. What we as a church need to convince the world of, and what God has been saying in His Word since time immemorial, is that what He wants are women today who realize the great service that they are doing for mankind and for the kingdom of Christ when they provide shelter for a family and good mothering. That is the foundation upon which our society is built. And men, our mothers are building something far more magnificent than any cathedral that you might see in any of the great cities of this country. This past week, Channel 4 carried the final implementation of what has now been built in place of the Twin Towers, Freedom Tower, with the final tower being erected that finishes out at a height of 1,776 feet. And a great fanfare was brought to bear upon the erection of this tower and what this tower represents and how it is a statement to the world of our resolve and who we are. But there is a greater statement that is being made every single day in homes when mothers are caring for their children than any tower that any man will ever build anywhere, because what you mothers are building, you are building a dwelling place for an immortal soul. That little infant that you have held in your arms, that little one that is sitting beside you right now, that one that is now walking or preparing to walk out the door and go to college or is fixing to graduate from college, you have taken the time to develop within them the house for an immortal soul. And there's nothing in all of this world that can compare to that. That's why Paul said that we need to teach our young women to be keepers at home. There is no professional pursuit that so uniquely combines the most menial task. And let me tell you, what you're doing sometimes are called menial tasks. Cleaning house, picking up, washing clothes, changing diapers, fixing meals, cleaning up, wiping noses, changing diapers, cleaning up. Am I making my point? There's no professional pursuit that so uniquely combines the most menial tasks with the most meaningful opportunities. And that is to prepare these young lives for an eternity with God. I believe that this is where our society has fallen down. We have encouraged our mothers to go out and pursue everything else but building lives and souls. And in so doing, we're reaping the whirlwind that we've sown. Homemaking is a source of self-esteem. The Bible teaches that. If you go back and you begin reading in the book of Genesis and you come to Sarah, Sarah's concern was not with any great wealth that she may or may not have had. It was not a concern with any kind of career or anything like that, or the fact that she might have been discriminated against anything. You know what her concern was? Her concern was that she was childless. She had no children. And then when you come beyond Sarah, what do you find? You find Isaac marries Rebekah. Well, Rebekah goes for a good while before she has children, and that is her longing. And then when you get beyond Rebekah and you have Jacob and Esau, and Jacob marries Rachel, what do you find with Rachel? Rachel's concern is that everybody else is having children but her. These women weren't concerned with whether they were priests or prophetesses or anything like that. They were concerned with bearing children. They were concerned with being able to raise individuals who would love God. And one specific individual is one that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her name is Hannah, and she is childless. And on one occasion, when she and her husband make the trip down to Shiloh for the annual sacrifices, she is in there and she is praying, and her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And as Eli, the priest at that time, sees her, he thinks she's drunk. And he criticizes her. He reprimands her. But she's praying. And you know what she's praying for? She's praying for a son. She's asking God to give her a son. The maternal instinct within her agonized in prayer with burning desire to give a boy back to God as a living sacrifice. And so God does answer her prayer, and He blesses her with a son. And she gives him the name Samuel. Notice she names him. Her husband doesn't name him. She names him. And the reason she gives him the name Samuel, as we find in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, is because, she says, because I asked him of the Lord. I asked God for him, and God answered my prayer. That was her desire. Now, here's something to think about. Hannah's greatest reward was not the birth of that son. It was the gift to God of that son. Because Hannah gave that son back to God to serve God all the days of his life. And that son, Samuel, would grow up to be a great prophet in Israel who would enjoy power with and from God. So, what is it that Hannah teaches us? Hannah teaches us that a woman of faith dedicated her family in service to the Lord. Moms, that's what you do every day. You are dedicating your family in service to God. You are teaching your children that whatever else we do, whatever career you may pursue, whatever you may decide to do in life, make it your number one goal to serve God. And if we make it our number one goal to teach our children to serve God, we won't be looking at empty pews. We won't be wondering, where have all of our kids gone? Because we're putting the priorities where they need to be, serving God. Not how much money can you make? What does that career pay? What benefits are there with it? What opportunities for advancement will there be? It ought to be, how can you serve God with what you're doing in your life? And then there's another woman in the New Testament. You know her by the name of Mary. She is the mother of our Lord. She was a young virgin who became the mother of our Lord, as we see in Luke 1 and Matthew 1. When that young man was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem, and you may remember they were on their way back after the feast days and he was not in the caravan among them. They go back, they look for him, and after searching for 3 days, they find him. He's speaking to the elders. He's speaking to those wise men. And they say, did you not know we were searching for you? And his response was, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Mary came to understand who her son's true family was. I have a father that I'm serving. She followed her son to his crucifixion. She was there at the foot of the cross and watched him as they drove the nails in his hands and feet. And yet after his resurrection and his ascension back to the Father, she was also among the women who were in the upper room in Jerusalem with the apostles as they awaited the promise of the Spirit, as we see in Acts 1, verses 13 and 14. And what we see in Mary is a mother who reminds us that all of our children belong to God. God has given you your children for a brief period of time. I don't know how long that may be. I don't know if your child will live to be an old adult or if your child will die in infancy or in teenage years. But God has given you your children, and ultimately they belong to Him. And when we remember that, my child does not belong to me. My child belongs to God. And I want my child to love God and to honor God. But I've got to do it first. I've got to show them what it means to love God and honor God with my life. Mothers, that's what you're doing. You're teaching them to use their life in service for God. You're teaching them that they belong to Him. They are His blessing. Isn't that what Psalm 127 says? Children are a heritage from the Lord. Our children are given to us from God. And men, don't ever discourage your wife from taking care of your kids. If you put a guilt trip on your wife and say, we need more money, you have set your priorities in the wrong place. If your wife says, I want to stay home and take care of the kids, it may mean you have to downsize. It may mean you have to sell a car. It may mean you have to sell a boat or a shotgun or a four-wheeler or something else. But if she says, I want to take care of our kids and I want to teach them to love God, you make it possible for her to do that. Because that's your heritage. It's not the house you live in. It's not the car you drive. It's not the things that you have amassed. It's your kids. And if you lose your kids, what have you gained? You've gained nothing. You've lost it all. If you lose your kids, we talk about the circle being unbroken, but what are we doing to keep it together? We've got to keep our kids. We need to be praying for them every day that they have breath upon this earth. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for my kids and my grandkids and my kids' spouses. And I pray for my wife, who does such a great job at encouraging them, better than I could ever do. Because I don't want to lose my kids, and I don't want to lose my grandkids. It's been over a year ago now, maybe longer than that. I was sitting one Sunday afternoon. I was working on the computer, finishing up some things for Sunday night. And back in the back bedroom or our office where we have our office, and my oldest grandson, our grandsons were over at our house. And my oldest grandson walked back in there. It was a cold time of the year. And he says, Papa, would you like a cup of hot chocolate? I said, thank you. He walked out and come out. Would you like marshmallows in that? Thank you. Yes. He goes out, and of course, Nana's preparing it. She's the one that taught him. But I stopped, and I prayed a prayer. I said, Dear God, please don't let me mess this one up. Because he's making the right choices. Maybe some of us need to pray that prayer. Don't let me mess them up, God. And don't let me turn my wife away from what God has instilled within her, that maternal instinct to care for my kids. Folks, rearing the next generation is the most coveted task that we have before us. It is unprecedented, and it places unprecedented pressures upon motherhood. And motherhood is a demanding, and it is a rewarding profession. I want to share with you something. You've heard the last two parts of this, but you've not heard, I think, this entire stanza from this poem. It was written by William Ross Wallace. It comes from the late 1800s. Listen to the words. I've got them up here before you. Woman, how divine your mission. Here upon our natal sod, keep, oh keep, the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from the mother love impearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mothers, I beg you, please, don't let Satan convince you that your efforts in your home with your children is time poorly spent, because that is truly false prophets working in your life. You are determining the destiny of souls through your care and the time you spend with your kids as their mother. And nobody else can match what you do. God bless you for what you're doing, and may we encourage you. There are some mothers that I know have been praying for some of you that are here this morning that have never obeyed the gospel. You've never put Christ on in baptism. And they long for you to be a Christian. Because only in Christ do we have hope of eternal life. To become a Christian, we've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we've got to be willing to repent of a life lived apart from Him. We must confess the name of Christ. And we must be buried with Him in baptism so that He can wash away our sins through His blood. If you haven't done that, please don't put it off any longer. And if you're an individual who is a Christian that just needs to come home, we beseech you today, won't you come as together we stand and sing.